America, it is time to focus on nation building here at home.
We need nation building in America.
We used to be strong.
Focus on a subsidized education effort.
We should be rebuilding our own country.
I would definitely improve the public transportation system.
Build better communities and to build a better country.
Sure, it's a good time to do it.
President Obama, John Huntsman, presidential candidate, other voices there. President raised a pretty big issue that's really already on the table when he spoke on Wednesday night about Afghanistan. Nation building right here at home. What would you do if we did seriously turn our nation building away from nations like Iraq and Afghanistan and Somalia and Yemen and Egypt and other places like that and focus right here at home? We want to make you part of the conversation.
My name is Bashir Burgess, and I'm calling from East Greenwich, Rhode Island. If I had 10 years of nation building, I would focus on a subsidized education effort in this country. I would also focus on high-speed rail infrastructure and also a truly universal health care system for the citizens of this country.
Bashir there taking up our offer. What if you had $10 billion a month, which is what the Afghan war is costing us right now, and had 10 years, which is about how long we've been in Afghanistan? What would you accomplish if you did your nation building right here at home? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Tell us what we need to invest in city by city, town by town. It doesn't have to be infrastructure. It could actually be rebuilding democracy, rewriting the Constitution, anything. All ideas welcome. Text us at 69866 with the word TAKE. Todd Buchholz joins us, former White House economist and author of Rush, Why You Need and Love the Rat Race. Todd, good morning.
Good morning, John. Good to be with you.
Well, it's great to talk to you. As a White House economist, I'm making you the head of the Nation Building Right Here at Home Task Force, okay?
I'm ready. What's it pay?
It pays a lot because you've got a budget of $10 billion a month and you've got 10 years. So where do you think you'd focus that effort?
John, are you kidding? I mean, look, we are – let me give you a little personal information. I'm speaking to you from Europe. I am on July 4th going to be in Athens, Greece. I am on the road to Athens, and the U.S. is on the road to Athens. By the count of the Congressional Budget Office, in the year 2025, we are Greece. We are broke. We've got almost 150% of GDP in debt. So if you ask me how to spend the money, I would say – don't spend the money. Don't bankrupt our children. Don't force our children to have to pay confiscatory tax rates that'll be 70% of their paltry income. So we got to get off the road and off the dream path of spending and thinking about prosperity without spending a trillion extra dollars of taxpayer money.
All right. Well, let's hold on to that thought for a moment. And I'm just wondering, by that measure and by that strategy, most of America's infrastructure is going to, speaking of your road to Greece analogy, is going to end up looking like the Acropolis does right now in about 100 years.
But let's think about the infrastructure. We have had, over the last 20 years, one of the most fantastic, remarkable infrastructure building successes in human history. Now, most people are probably scratching their heads. What is that? Still see potholes. You know, the subways in New York are much improved over the last 20 years. But for the most part, what we think of as infrastructure seems rather cratered. However, we didn't have the internet 20 years ago to speak of. We didn't have cell phone coverage to speak of. And so we've had the rollout of this incredible infrastructure without, frankly, without a whole lot of taxpayer money. It was pretty much the taxpayer made money selling spectrum to the private sector. And yeah, it's not the same as filling a pothole, but it certainly changed our life more remarkably than putting down new pavement across the road on the road across from your house.
But are you saying that we then wasted all the money we might have used for nation building in both of these wars and that there are no options? This is just a rhetorical flourish? And by the way, if you disagree with Todd Buchholz or agree with him, either way, call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment to thetakeaway.org. Todd?
Well, if you're asking me, have the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan been the best way to spend $1.5 trillion, I think it's hard to argue in particular that Afghanistan's been a great return on investment so far. From an economic point of view, could you argue that oil prices would have been even higher and the economy would be even slower if we hadn't prosecuted these wars? Perhaps. But the question is, if there is a peace dividend to speak of. My view is, what's wrong with putting that dividend in the bank as opposed to spending it? You know, Ronald Reagan had once compared the government to an infant, and he said, at one end, you've got an endless appetite. At the other end, no sense of responsibility.
Although Reagan was responsible for record deficits back then because of national security issues, basically raising the military budget, and the economy suffered and really didn't recover until the Clinton years.
Let me argue a couple points there. First of all, yes, he did spend a lot of money on the military, and the military budget went up to 6% of GDP. But as a result, largely of that, the Soviet Union fell, and there was a peace dividend. Defense spending fell from 6% to 3%, and both, at the end of the Reagan administration and George Herbert Walker Bush and Bill Clinton got to benefit from that. And in fact, in the 1980s, after 1983, there was, 7 years of a pretty prosperous period.
All right, but let's move to the present moment then in the minute and a half that we have to go here. Both the president and John Huntsman, a GOP candidate, have suggested that nation building here at home rather than in Afghanistan might be a campaign issue for 2012. You say that's absurd?
Well, it depends how you define nation building. I don't believe nation building is a matter of taking out a big checkbook. Don't get me wrong. We've got some major, major problems. Our school system is disastrous by world standards. You know, our young people do brilliantly at the Beijing Olympics and the Vancouver Olympics. But when you look at math, science, Olympiads, our kids are, the Jamaican bobsled team of education.
Or look at their weight, if you want to talk about obesity.
Yeah. Yes, if we could do it by weight, we'd be ahead. But do we solve the school problem with the checkbook? I think that's really not the case. I think as you look around the world, school systems with far fewer monetary resources use what resources they have in a more prudent way and get better, far better results than we do. So it's what takes place in the classroom. It's not a matter of how big the checkbook is that you take to the school.
And the kind of nation building we're talking about in Afghanistan, giving women the right to vote, making government less corrupt. These are phenomena that took hundreds of years to accomplish in the United States, and we tried to do it in 10 in Afghanistan. So these are serious challenges that go way beyond simply a checkbook. Todd Buchholz, thanks so much.
Good to be with you, John.
Have fun on your trip to Greece there.
All right, I'm here for the tear gas festival.
Todd Buchholz, former White House economist, author of Rush, Why You Need and Love the Rat Race. I love that. The ruins of the Acropolis are what we have to look forward to here in the United States. Let's check on stories we're following at 15 minutes after the hour. Part of that nation building here at home we've just been talking about includes lower prices at the pump. AAA says the national average of a gallon of gasoline now stands at $3.61. That's down 9% from this year's high, just in time for summer. Economists expect gas prices to drop another 10 to 15 cents in the coming weeks following yesterday's decision to tap into the strategic oil reserve. European Union doing some building of its own. In the past 10 minutes, German Chancellor Angela Merkel announced European leaders have agreed to let Croatia join the EU. U.S. officials say the cell phone of Osama bin Laden's courier contained contacts to a terrorist group believed to be a longtime ally of Pakistan. The cell phone was found in the raid that killed both bin Laden and the courier and raises more questions about the ties between bin Laden and the Pakistani government. Busted mob boss James Whitey Bulger will be extradited to Boston today to face multiple murder charges. The FBI's Steve Martinez says a good deal of evidence was seized from the Santa Monica apartment where Bulger and his girlfriend had been staying.
Over $800,000 in cash, more than 30 firearms to include pistols, rifles, and shotguns, several types of knives, and several pieces of false identification.
An 81-year-old with 30 firearms and several types of knives. Thanks, Grandpa. It appears Bulger had been living in that same apartment for the past 15 years. Hacker group Lulzsec back at it. They claim to have breached the Arizona Department of Public Safety, gained access to hundreds of police documents, profiles, and emails. More on this story in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Takeaway. We want to hear more of your ideas about nation building. If you got $10 billion a month to spend on building America, what would you invest in? Call 877-8-MY-TAKE.
Thank you. You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.